He drives the lane. He takes it to the house. Bouncing on defenders. He just laid it in. He just put it up and in. 56 seconds to play. Oh, by the way.
It's time. Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Game 7 is over. It's an instant classic.
It's the TC Martin Show.
A three for the game. Bang!
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
You've got to pinch me.
The doctor is now in.
Monday it is. Glad to have you with us. Fox Sports Radio. T.C. Martin in the house. Chris Chapman, a.k.a. Magnum. We're bringing it to you just like this every Monday through Friday, as you know. 3 o'clock right here. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Streaming live, tcmartinshow.com. NFL news, yes, we are more than a week away from the Super Bowl past, but the offseason continues with plenty of hot-button topics. We will talk about that today. Kareem Hunt, John Dorsey, they're in the news, the Cleveland Browns, Kyler Murray, we'll touch on all that. Your phone calls, your thoughts, you want to chime in, I want to get your take on all this as well, too. 876-1340, the number again, 876-1340. You can jump on in, the area code 702. Also, follow us on Twitter, TCMartin21, and at Fox Sports LV. Okay, Jason Simbel will join us a little bit later on. We got our first weekend of the Alliance, a.k.a. AAF. You like that? So we'll see how many takers were. How many viewers there were, number one? I heard the numbers for the viewers. Actually, it was 3 million that CBS had for their Saturday night game. I guarantee a lot less money was wagered in the total handle of the AAF over the weekend. We'll talk to Jason Simbel a little bit later on with that. So, yep, a lot to do, a lot to talk about, of course. And it's kind of hard, you know, when we have our terrible Tuesday segment, you know, some of this stuff we just like to table it and save it because, you know, over the weekend, it's what our Terrible Tuesday segment's all about. All the stuff that just kind of irritates us and makes us sick over the weekend. And then when I hear some of this news that we're going to talk about today, it's like, got to save some of that for tomorrow. But we got to talk about this. First, Cleveland Browns signed running back Kareem Hunt. Now remember, Kareem Hunt is currently on the commissioner's exempt list, meaning that the Browns can sign him to a contract, and they did, sign him to a one-year deal. Not hearing what the actual deal is. Got to remember, Kareem Hunt is still on his rookie contract. He's young. Obviously, he's dumb. And how is this going to play out for Cleveland? Because we know that he is going to be facing a lengthy suspension. We know that John Dorsey is a big Kareem Hunt fan. Got to remember, John Dorsey was the GM with the Kansas City Chiefs. He initially drafted Hunt with the Chiefs. So he was the driving force behind this. It's not like a whole bunch of teams are lining up to sign Kareem Hunt. But here's John Dorsey saying, listen, I want this guy. He can help us. I know what he's all about. John Dorsey stuck his neck on the line. And obviously, I think John Dorsey wants a little redemption himself, thinking that, hey, I drafted this guy in Kansas City. He pulls this stunt. While a member of the Chiefs, got to lose him. Meanwhile, Dorsey, you know, took another job as the GM with the Browns. So now he's going to say, hey, I think I can resurrect this guy. But it's, I don't know. It's just, it's a little disturbing. And when you go back and you watch the video of what Kareem Hunt did to the girl, shoving her, kicking her, and just the attitude that he displayed in that video. There's no NFL team that's going to jump up and say, I want this guy. John Dorsey probably knows Kareem Hunt better than anybody else. I totally get that. But do the Cleveland Browns really need him when they've got a decent core of running backs already? Especially with Nick Chubb. Huge upside with Chubb. And Chubb, when he had the opportunity to play, I don't know why Chubb didn't get the opportunity to play immediately last year. It wasn't until they traded running backs and Chubb got to have, you know, more carries and get more touches in the offense. But John Dorsey is sticking his neck out here for a guy that is viewed right now as a guy that doesn't look like to be a good teammate, maybe not to be a good person. So we'll see about this, how it all plays out. All right, you got an opinion on this? Jump on board, 876-1340, the phone number. The Browns actually have wanted him for a while. He played at Toledo. He grew up 15 minutes from the stadium in which the Browns play in. And I get that, you know. But how are Cleveland Browns fans? What do they think today? How are they feeling about this? Is this a guy that you want on your team? Is this a guy that you want on your roster? And is this a good look for the Cleveland Browns? So that's a question that I want to throw out there. All right? And again, we know that he's going to be facing a suspension. Some people may think, well, yeah, he's going to be out for maybe a few games, half a season. This thing could be more along the lines of an entire season. And if we look at the Ray Rice situation, other situations very similar to this, this is not going to be a short-term suspension. It's going to be long-term. We don't know the exact timetable, when and if he's going to be able to play with the Cleveland Browns. But when you're shoving and kicking a woman, and that video is still fresh in people's minds, it just makes you want to say, like, wow, do we really want this guy? So here's the question. What does this look like for Cleveland? Is this a good look for Cleveland right now? I say absolutely it's not a good look for Cleveland.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the thing is, this is a league that there's a lot of situations where there's domestic violence issues. The one that really comes to mind recently, of course, is Joe Mixon, who was not at he was not in the NFL when it happened. Therefore, he could not be suspended by the NFL when it transpired. I don't know if you can rank guys beating up women, like in terms of how awful they are, because they're
the
all
the severity of each one. Ray Rice, Joe Mixon, you know, Kareem Hunt.
They're all
right?
Disgusting,
right?
You know, which is why I never thought that Ohio State should have taken it lightly with Zeke Elliott,
right,
or with the assistant coach. Domestic violence is not something you take lightly. And it's a bad look for the Browns in a lot of different ways, because this is a team that's up and coming. And I think, at what cost do you sacrifice dignity and decency to win? And I don't agree with it. First of all, from a football perspective, the Browns have a pretty decent group of running backs to begin with, right? Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb.
That's what I said, yeah.
Who had a great season. What are you saying to those guys who are both pretty decent running backs? Nick Chubb, I think, probably would have had 1,200, 1,300 yards if he plays a full season.
Nick Chubb is a future Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's one of the best running backs in college when he was at Georgia. Unfortunately, he had to split time with Sony Michel.
Another good running back. Yeah.
Exactly. But Nick Chubb, I mean, he's a stud. There's no question about it.
So I don't like the move from a football perspective, because what you're doing now is you're relegating Nick Chubb to a role where he's going to be splitting carries with another guy who's a perennial Pro Bowler. I don't like the move from a PR standpoint, because this is still fresh in everyone's minds. And look, I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, well, she was saying the N-word to him. You have to show restraint if you're Kareem Hunt. It's disgusting what she was saying to him. No doubt about it. But you cannot put your hands on women. And this is an issue in the NFL, and it continues to be an issue. And the reality of the situation, and I shouldn't say that. My opinion is, if Ray Rice was 25 and not on his way out of the league, Ray Rice probably finds a job.
Oh, yeah. He'd get
a second
chance.
Proves,
no doubt. Yeah. Right.
This proves that Ray Rice is, or that Ray Rice would have found the job. Adrian Peterson beat his kid, said he still hits his kid. in a similar way. No problem.
At some point in time, for a professional athlete, and you're focusing just on the NFL, it happens in every sport.
Well, I'll focus on the NFL because we're right, talking. But there was a situation in the NHL where a player on the Nashville Predators beat up his wife. He was suspended 27 games or something like that. The arbitrator reduced the suspension.
It's the NHL. What can I say?
But it does happen in different leagues.
This is a life situation too. And here's the situation that in society, judges or people who fail to report this type of thing, they like to shy away from this. And it's almost incumbent now upon these sports leagues. Now we're talking about the NFL to, okay, you do the punishment, because in society they're not punishing these guys.
Well,
think about this, because this happens every day around the clock. It goes unheard of to most people like us. Doesn't make front page headlines, but because this is sports and it goes viral quickly, and it's here's what it is for me with this whole thing. Yes, it's a bad look. It's a horrible look. I wouldn't want to be involved in making that decision, because you're going to have a fan base that's going to be divided, and probably more than divided. It's going to be like, we don't want this guy. But here it is. It's on the individual. At some point in time, and we talk about this all the time, as a professional athlete, you've just got to grow up. You've just got to mature. And that's what infuriates me, because we see this time and time again where these guys just don't grow up. They think that they're held. We know that they should be held on a higher standard, but they think that they can get away with this stuff. They can talk their way out of it. They can get attorneys to take care of it. Hey, these guys value my talents over my demeanor. And that's why I don't mind if these guys get shoved over to the side, they get suspended indefinitely or long-term suspensions. But think about this: if you are Kareem Hunt here, this guy's getting the ultimate second chance. He grew up in Cleveland, 15 minutes away from the Brown Stadium, went to Toledo, home state guy,
yeah,
and now he's getting an opportunity to play with his hometown team. You know, it's talk about the ultimate second chance here. Will he learn from it? We can only hope so. But we've seen repeated offenders, like you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, a guy that definitely should have been suspended while he was in college, probably maybe even suspended in the NFL, continues to make bad decisions. Hopefully, we haven't heard too much about Ezekiel Elliott during the past 6 or 8 months.
Well, maybe he's grown up.
Maybe, hope so. We can only hope so.
You know, because let's remember, he had that incident in New Orleans where at Mardi Gras where he pulled the girl's shirt up.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. And then, you know, repeated stuff at Ohio State and even in going back to high school. But at some point, you just got to grow up and you've got to get it. Certain guys get it. Other guys just don't get it. And I'm not sure, you know, if Kareem Hunt has gotten it yet. We will see. Time will tell. But when you look at that video, does that say that I want that guy on my team? I don't care if he can carry the ball or not. Because we know, to a certain degree, running backs, wide receivers, they're kind of a dime a dozen. There's tons of guys that succeed at this level that don't even get drafted.
Yeah.
I don't want that guy in my team.
Well, and here's the other thing. Running back is a position that's pretty much, you know, there's a lot of guys that can do that job in the NFL. They're very replaceable players. I mean, sure, you have your elite guys, but for the most part, you can plug in a lot of different guys. If I'm Cleveland and I'm John Dorsey, the way I approach this, Kareem Hunt and his poor decisions cost the Kansas City Chiefs a Super Bowl. Do I want that guy making bad decisions that cost my team? Because you could say, yeah, maybe the Patriots beat them. You could also say, well, if Kareem Hunt's in there, the Patriots don't win that game because the Chiefs' offense is a little bit better.
Well, the game plan is totally different, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they had no shot at running the ball.
You take some pressure off of Pat Mahomes and, you know, you have a pretty decent running back in there.
And Mahomes doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times.
Yeah. So there's that angle as well. I just think that what you were saying is right. Society needs to get tougher on these guys. And I get a lot of times, look, maybe the women don't cooperate. Maybe they decide they want to protect their husband. You know, they don't want the police involved, that type of thing. But there's a lot of cases away from sports where these guys, they go to another level. You know, it goes on for so long that sometimes it ends in a tragedy. And that tragedy is the woman being killed by the husband. At some point, society needs to step in and do the job. Roger Goodell should not be tasked with punishing guys who are beating up their women. That's the role of our court system. That's the role of our police departments, to do the due diligence to make sure that these guys are off the street. Look, if you put your hands on a woman, you shouldn't be working in the NFL. I'm sorry. Now, Michael Vick, completely different situation, right? He went to jail, served his time. I don't like what he did. I think it was completely disgusting. But the guy went to prison, served his time.
Right.
You know what? If I did something like that and I went to prison, I would be given an opportunity to work again.
Sure.
I had no problem with Michael Vick because it's a different situation. Sure. But like, if Ray Carruth, the horrible, disgusting person he was, I think he's coming out of prison. He may have already come out of prison.
He's already out, yeah.
He served his time. He should not that he's going to play in the NFL again, but he should be able to go on with his life. You know, he served his time in prison for that crime. A lot of these guys, they're beating their girls. There's no punishment.
Your thoughts. Would you want Kareem Hunt on your team? 876-1340. Do you think the Browns are a good move, bad move? If you're a GM of your favorite team, would you want this guy on your team? Give us your thoughts, 876-1340, regarding Kareem Hunt. And the thing about it is, this is just still so fresh. This isn't like Ray Rice. You know, time heals wounds. People are going to forget about it. The guy goes on talk shows, goes out in public, apologizes, trying to get his life right, trying to, you know, be an advocate, you know, for this type of thing. Now, Kareem Hunt's done none of that, all right, because this is still fresh. And like you mentioned, I mean, he was playing this season, had an opportunity to take the Kansas City Chiefs all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, this happened, what is it? 4-5 months ago?
Yeah, it was like, what, November?
Yeah, less than that. So this is still fresh in everyone's minds. And again, this is more John Dorsey. And if John Dorsey doesn't pull this move.
He said he did his due diligence.
Well, I get it. And it's like I said at the beginning. It's like you kind of feel a little bit responsible because you drafted this guy initially in Kansas City. He's your guy. And granted, you probably know him better than anybody else. So I get that. If there is a tight relationship between Dorsey and Hunt, I totally get that. You stayed in contact. Was John Dorsey reaching out to him after this happened? Because Dorsey was already with the Browns. Got to remember that this year. So it's just interesting situation here. And again, the suspension, we don't even know what that suspension is going to be. But I tell you one thing for darn sure. The NFL is not going to go easy on Kareem Hunt. Not at all. Not going to go easy on him. Now, this isn't going to be one of these things, hey, well, you know, we're going to try to rush you back in. Roger Goodell and the NFL are not going to care less about that. And maybe the opposite. Maybe they want to really tack on a long-term suspension here. We'll see. Fernando, what are your thoughts, man? Do you want this guy on your team or not?
Hey, guys. If I was Goodell, I would suspend him for the year, make sure he goes to the proper programs, and evaluate him every month, and give him a second chance, because I know there was no law involved, right? He wasn't arrested or nothing like that. So it's like it didn't happen since the law wasn't involved. So now he's on his exempt list.
Well, you can't say that it didn't happen because obviously it happened when there's a video. And again, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, a battery is definitely a violation here. I mean, that goes with fines as well as jail time as well. Now, obviously, she's got to, you know, to go forward, but he could still be prosecuted even if she doesn't want to go forward. But we all saw what happened. He admitted what happened, and he didn't really handle himself. If you remember, you know, he did a national interview about 3 weeks after that and did not handle himself in the right way as well, too. Never really came out clearly and said, hey, it's 100% on me. There were always extenuating circumstances and excuses that were tied to this. But again, this is John Dorsey who feels like, hey, I know this guy better. I'm going to be the guy that gives him the second chance. But I just don't think the NFL is going to say, we're going to go light on you.
But he was never arrested. No. He was never arrested, and charges could come or whatever, but I would give him a year, go through all the programs, and then give him a second chance. And if he messes up again, well, that's on him. Hopefully he'll learn from his mistakes. All right, guys, take care.
All right, Fernando. Appreciate the call. And again, I just don't think, you know, you're looking at semantics like not arrested and that sort of thing. Yeah, bottom line is, he did what he did. He admitted to doing it. We saw the video. There is a victim still. Remember that. Yeah. There is still a victim out there. Think about that.
Yeah, and I don't think him being arrested is relevant at all, because the video of him kicking and pushing this girl exists. We've seen it. We saw Joe Mixon sucker punch a girl in a fast food restaurant. We saw Ray Rice dragging his wife out of an elevator. You know, those things exist. We saw pictures of Greg Hardy's girlfriend thrown on a bed covered in guns, right? We saw the bruises on her body. We saw the guns all over the bed. This is an epidemic that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed harshly. I don't think suspending a guy for a year sends a message. The NFL, you know, this is the stance, though. The NFL is forced to play the role of the court system. And if charges are never brought, what is the NFL supposed to do? Oh, okay, we're going to wash our hands. No, they can't.
No,
because we keep hearing this, protect the shield, right? The image of the NFL is very important. It's a multi-billion dollar company. You have to protect your image. But when the NFL is forced to do things because the court systems don't, or because charges are never brought, you know, like, I would imagine the Columbus, Ohio Police Department, they may not have investigated those allegations against Zeke Elliott very hard.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You know, we hear about it, the Gainesville Police Department, when Urban Meyer was at Florida, all the things that went on, how many players, 40-something players were arrested when Urban Meyer was at University of Florida. You know, he had Aaron Hernandez, right? He was such a danger. Urban Meyer thought he was such a dangerous person that he roomed him with Tim Tebow.
And the same situation with Baylor too.
Oh, well, that's
you know,
yeah, that's
some stuff came out, but other stuff just got swept under.
Well, and then even going back further with Baylor, right? You had the Dave Bliss situation.
Where
one of his players murdered another player.
Right.
Right. So, college athletics, they enable these kids. The youth systems are enabling these kids, and they're coddling them. And look, you have supreme talent. You're an elite talent. We're going to coddle you, and we're going to cover for you when things go wrong. They're not helping any of these guys out when they do that.
The NFL has now got to make sure they put out the discipline, and it's a situation that the NFL will handle. But it's a very touchy situation, no doubt about it. So Kareem Hunt getting signed today with the Browns. All right, appreciate the feedback on that. Hit us on Twitter as well, too, at TCMartin21 at Fox Sports LV. All right, we come back. We will transition over to Kyler Murray. He decides to commit to the NFL today instead of baseball. So a big decision there. He went back and forth with this. And today he comes out not really talking about it, but delivers his message on Twitter. We'll hit that and a whole lot more coming your way. TC Martin Show on Fox. All right. Talking a little NFL today. Talking about the Browns and Kareem Hunt. Jason Symbol's going to join us a little bit later on. We'll talk about the betting perspective from the Alliance of American Football that made their debut over the weekend. So we'll take a look at the betting handle on that. But right now I want to touch on Kyler Murray deciding to commit to the NFL, which means he will not report to the A's spring training coming up this week. He's going to forfeit the majority of his $5 million signing bonus. That means that he has to return $1.29 million of the $1.5 million that he received up front. So he's going to forfeit the $3.5 million that was due to him on March the 1st upon, you know, showing up at spring training coming up. So, yeah, that was going to be due to him on March the 1st. He's not going to get any of that. Interesting, just goes to kind of show you what we're dealing with nowadays, is that Kyler Murray didn't hold a press conference. He didn't have his agent speak for him. He didn't come out and do an interview. No, he just posted this on Twitter today. And not really even talking about the A's in his Twitter post. It's the way that these athletes handle most of the stuff now. Okay, hey, I'm going to inform the A's. I'm going to inform the NFL, everybody else. Oh, and of course, all my, you know, thousands upon thousands of Twitter followers. This is what I'm doing. This is my decision. So obviously it's trending big right now. But yeah, Kyler Murray is committing to the NFL, saying that he wants to play quarterback. He was bred to play quarterback. This is what he always wanted to do. And this is a situation that it's unique that you have a two-sport star. And think about this. If Kyler Murray gets drafted in the first round, which more than likely he will, there are different draft boards that have him going anywhere from as high as maybe 12 or 13 in the first round to maybe as low as, you know, 25, 26 in the first round. But he would be the first guy that would be a first-round Major League Baseball pick, which he was last year with the A's, and a first-round draft pick in the National Football League as well. And of all the great superstars that we've had in both sports, in even dual sports stars like Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, kind of weird thinking that Kyler Murray is the first guy that could be drafted in the first round of both sports.
Well, yeah, because Bo Jackson was a little bit of a different situation, right? Because wasn't he drafted by the Buccaneers and then he didn't want to play for them, something like that?
He went to the USFL.
And then you had Chris Wanky, who played minor league baseball for a few years and then went to Florida State and became a first-round draft pick of the Carolina Panthers. I'm blanking on the guy's name, Oklahoma State quarterback as well. I think he played baseball as well. And then he went back to school, and I know he was drafted by the Browns late. Was it? That doesn't matter. But this was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah. But Murray's a little bit unique in that generally those guys, they've played in the minors before they go back to college and play quarterback. Murray was playing two sports at the same time at Oklahoma, was drafted in baseball, went back for his senior year to play football, and now he's going to forego Major League Baseball. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't see Kyler Murray being very successful in the NFL.
I'm not sure how successful he could be in Major League Baseball. Now think about this. So Major League Baseball is such a grind. Okay, he's 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
On a good day.
Like 175, 180 pounds.
Now we'll get to that part in the National Football League. But people saying, well, you know, the guy committed to playing baseball. He had got a $5 million check up front. He's going to keep a little bit of that, but the majority of it, you know, again, he has to return the 1.29 of the 1.5 that he got initially, and then he's not going to, you know, get the big time check that's going to be coming here. It was supposed to come here on
$3 million, right?
Yeah. 3.5 on March the 1st. But with Major League Baseball, there is no guarantee whatsoever, and I understand why players choose Major League Baseball, because those salaries are guaranteed. You know, you get huge upfront money. But as we've seen, like with Tim Tebow, there's just no guarantee. I mean, outfielders are a dime a dozen. Who can tell us that Kyler Murray can go to Major League Baseball and be a 300 hitter, or let alone maybe a 270, 275 hitter? We've seen guys that just toil away in the minor leagues. Even a guy as hyped as Tim Tebow, who obviously has natural ability. It's not like he's, you know, not like a Michael Jordan situation where just picking up baseball at the last minute. This guy's played, he gets it, but still so hard for him just to make it up to even double A and triple A, let alone the majors. So no guarantee whatsoever with Kyler Murray. I think in his mind, and this is probably going to be true because of the hype that he gets for being a Heisman Trophy winner, his path enables him to be more successful in the National Football League, even though he's 175 pounds soaking wet, 5'9", 5'10", whatever. But because you're a Heisman Trophy winner and quarterbacks is such the elite position, where Major League Baseball, you're an outfielder. So what? You're going to have to earn your stripes. You got to earn your way. So for him, I get it. You know, he's coming off a very successful season at Oklahoma, winning the ultimate prizes, quote-unquote, the best player in college football. So he's going to get an opportunity. But it's really weird how the decision-making process is going on here. And so I guess here's the question. Where do you think Kyler Murray could be more successful? Could he be more successful in the NFL or Major League Baseball?
Well, I think Major League Baseball, because of the situation and the place that he was drafted. Oakland has a very good history of finding good players in the draft that they're able to develop, cultivate, bring into the majors, and have success. It's a little bit of a tougher road in the NFL because, A, he's probably going to go to a bad team. It's not like he's going to fall to the Patriots and Bill Belichick's going to be able to groom him to be...
No, but right now, the highest that they have him going is 13th, and that would position him with the Dolphins.
Really? And you want to play for the Dolphins?
Middle of the road team. I mean, not horrible, not great, but middle of the road team. And again, it might work out there because we know they do have some weapons. But, you know, again, you know, maybe...
Well,
we got a young coach who's an offensive guy. I don't know.
The other thing is, there's so few quarterbacks who are good at a young age, right? Like, how many teams do we see year in, year out draft a guy very high and they flame out in 4 years? First-round quarterbacks. The success rate, you know, it's weird because I think, like, outside of Tom Brady, there's not a lot of guys who haven't been drafted in the first round who won Super Bowls, right? Majority of the guys outside, you take Tom Brady out of the equation, you look at the list of guys who've won Super Bowls, and a very high percentage of those guys were drafted in the first round. But a lot of teams miss in the first round. And a lot of teams are impatient. And they don't want to give a guy an opportunity to learn behind somebody. Right? If he's going 13, he's going to be expected to play very early in his career. Because Ryan Tannehill stinks. And you know, if he's going to go ahead of them, again, same thing. Right? There's not a lot of guys who come in that ideal situation. The Browns, they had the plan. It was going to be Tyrod Taylor. Baker Mayfield was going to sit for a year. Taylor got hurt against the Jets. They brought in Mayfield. Never looked back.
Yeah, but saw how that whole thing was going to go, though.
But he's a unique situation because he clearly showed he was ready to play in the NFL. Not a lot of these guys are. And because of the system he played in, because of his size, I don't think he's going to be ready that first year to play in the NFL. I mean, he's going to have to put on a lot of weight.
Okay, now you take the other side of that with Major League Baseball. Just because you're drafted in the first round does not get you an immediate ticket to the bigs. You're going to have to spend at least four years in the minors, no doubt about it. And especially being a guy, you know, not a power hitter. He's not a power hitter. He's a punch and Judy. He's a singles hitter. He's got some good speed. Defensively, again, you know, it doesn't help you being 5'9", 5'10", being an outfielder. And again, you're going to have to toil your way, whatever you want to say, in the minor leagues. And if you're not hitting over 300 in the minors, you're not going to get that call-up. I mean, you're going to be in rookie ball. You're going to be in single A. I mean, again, you just don't jump up there right away. So for him, I get it, because he's going to be a first-round pick, and he's going to be asked to basically carry the groceries immediately in the National Football League. In Major League Baseball, I mean, it is such a hard road to crack into one of those 25 Major League Baseball roster spots.
Yeah, and I guess for some guys, they don't mind going that route. You know, some guys, they're okay with that. But not every player has options. You know, Kyler Murray clearly has options. And, you know, you can't fault him for making the decision either way because, you know, he's clearly a very gifted athlete. And people like that, they are always given an opportunity to forge their own path. And, you know, I hope he does succeed in the NFL because I think it's a cool story. But I was hoping we were going to get to see that first dual sport star where the guy is a quarterback and he plays pro baseball, because we've never seen that where a guy is doing both in the same year. I mean, I know Danny Ainge played in the Major League, played for the Blue Jays and the Celtics. Yeah. That's a completely different situation, right?
And you never will see it because with especially sports now, at the young age of high school and college, I mean, you rarely see guys doing that in college anymore.
Yeah.
Which it's set up where they could, especially if you're a football player and a baseball player, because you've got that break in between.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen basketball players
Julius Peppers played both basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio Gates.
There's a lot of them like that. But here's the thing, too. We know how good Kyler Murray is. The public knows how good he is at football. How many of the public really outside of Oklahoma have seen him play baseball? We have no idea.
I've only seen highlights.
We have no idea what his skill set is in baseball.
But the Oakland A's and Billy Beane thought it was good enough to draft him in the first round.
Sure. I understand that.
And like I said earlier, that's an organization that has a history of finding good players.
Kyler Murray, all right, going to commit full-time to the NFL. All right, Jason Sybil is going to join us on the other side of the break. We'll talk about the opening weekend of the AAF. That and a whole lot more coming your way. Fox Sports Radio. Get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sports books. Get the mobile app if you don't have it already. The new and improved app, great in-game betting options, and a whole lot more futures. It's all there for you, the CG Technology mobile app. Get signed up at any of those great books over at the Silverton, the Palms, the M Resort, the Venetian Plaza, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, and of course the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. The CG Technology mobile app, it's betting made easy. Jason Sybil, he joins us now, talking about action over the counter of the weekend. J-Sim, what's going on, man?
What's up, TC? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. There you go. So you recovered from your weekend, and you got your wrestling fix on at the Cosmopolitan on Friday. You're all good now?
I show up at the Cosmopolitan on Friday. Remember, I'm a Giants fan. And who's there? Super Bowl coach Jim Fossil. Then who shows up after that? The great Rob Van Dam. What a day for me.
There you go, man. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself there, of course. And, you know, that's what we got for you. No question. See, we cater to your likeness, Jason.
I appreciate it. So that must mean that we're going to have some more wrestling guests coming up.
We could. Yeah, I may have a couple other surprises for you. So I'll make sure that I'll let you know well in advance so you can clear your busy schedule.
Of course. For you and wrestling, anything.
All right. So let's talk about the alliance. I know we touched upon it a little bit on Friday. So give us what the handle was like, if there was any whatsoever. I mean, the crazy rules, the crazy anything. So as these games started to approach kickoff on Saturday night, did it still get buried with college basketball, or did you actually start to see a little bit of action?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a little bit of action, not much. I mean, I was looking at, the real big game over the weekend, I'd say, was Virginia-Duke. I think everybody would agree with that. And we did quite a bit more handle to that than any of the Alliance football games. I would say, in terms of, a handle standpoint, the Alliance football games were probably in line with, an average college hoops game for the day. So, I mean, we did some decent business to it. Nothing incredibly great, but certainly was decent.
All right, so when you get to situations like that where there's really not much wagering at all, are you still seeing a lot of two-way action, or are there some red flags where you're saying, well, we kind of still need this team to win even though your limits are low and everything?
No, I mean, I don't know if red flags would be the best thing to say, but certainly alarming some things. So, for example, there was Orlando, the Orlando game this weekend, right? They opened at 5. They ended up going to 8 or 8.5. Sharp moves the whole way. And look, we're taking $500 from Sharp guys on this, and they bet the heck out of it. They laid 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, you name it, all the way up to 7.5, and I think Orlando won 40-6. So those are the things we have to watch out for, because clearly the Sharp guys were ahead of that game more so than the books were. So, you know, those are the things we're going to have to look out for as this league gets underway.
You know, so bookmakers and fans alike, bettors, they don't know the roster, don't know the players. I mean, sure, you can go online and you can look. And now if you follow college football over the years, of course, you say, okay, I know this guy, whatever. And, of course, you got guys like Trent Richardson who are, you know, first-round picks or high picks in the NFL. And, you know, you got them there. I get that. But in this situation, do you think it's more about the coaches? Because the Alliance made a point to say, hey, we want these eight veteran, we want eight coaches to run these franchises that are veteran guys that can teach these young guys, being a developmental league for the NFL. So when you get guys like Steve Spurrier and then Mike Martz and then, you know, Riley and those other kind of guys, do you think that people are more betting, especially early on, not knowing what the product is? Are they attaching their bets maybe to the coaches and their names and their styles more so than the players?
Yes, I think so for sure. I think that's right on. So, you have Mike Martz, right, is the, you know, Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl with the Rams, you know, twice. All that stuff. And he was bet, you know, he was bet a lot with San Diego this week, you know, in terms of the handle. So that certainly was bet a lot. And, you know, the San Diego team didn't really perform great. So, you know, that was, I think, one of them. But, like, you know, one of the things that I think of just from, like, a personal standpoint, when you have all these veteran coaches, you get veteran football. It's the same stuff we've watched for years. Boring football, punting, you know, inside the 50, all that stuff, which is not what I want to see. I want to see something different from the NFL, not what these guys did back in, you know, 1999.
Right, exactly. Jason Symbol from CG Technology joins us too. And then, you know, you've got weather games in this thing as well too. I know the weather was terrible in Birmingham. You played indoors in San Antonio, so that wasn't a factor. But it just seemed like, you know, they're trying to hype this thing up, and I get CBS's investment. They're trying to do it here. But for me, just seeing the goofiness, whether it's the uniforms, then the rule changes like Jim Fossil talked about on Friday, it just seems like it's still one of these manufactured, gimmicky type of leagues. So I don't know. What do you think the future is for this? Not only just from a betting perspective, but just what are people going to clamor onto this over time?
Well, I mean, I would have liked a little bit of a break. I mean, you know, being that, you know, I spent every Sunday away from my family for all football season, I certainly couldn't be sitting in front of the TV on Sunday watching now that football's over. I will say, though, that, like, the one game I did watch a little bit of was Birmingham against Memphis, and I saw a play, you know, Memphis had, I tweeted about it, Memphis had 4th and 5 from their, from inside the other team's 45-yard line. They, instead of, so 4th and 5, 4th and 5 from the 45-yard line, they gained 4 yards, and on 4th and 1 from the other team's 40-yard line, they punted. And it was just the same stuff we see every week with bad NFL teams and, like, bad college teams. That's not the style, and that's not the mindset that I want. I want a departure from the NFL. I think a fun rule would be you have to go for it on 4th down inside the other team's you know, yard line, whatever. Something like that that makes it different. It's just the same thing, and that's not really what I'm looking for.
No, you're right, because it's a contradiction from everything they want to do. Let's eliminate the kickoffs, and they'll say the safety, but then again, they said, hey, we don't want to put this on field goal kickers, and, you know, so that's where we get rid of the extra points altogether. We're going to do all this other nonsense. You know, overtime, first and goal from the 10, and everything is supposed to increase offense and speed up the game, but again, like you said, we're seeing the same old boring football. If you want to get to an exciting type of thing, then maybe you need to be a little bit more innovative, kind of the way the Arena Football League is.
Totally agree. Like, how about this, right? If it's 4th down and less than 5 from inside the opponent's territory, you are required to go for it. There is no kicking a field goal. See what happens then. You know, that's something that's cool, right? And then, like, incomplete pass stops the clock. Maybe 100 years ago when there were 4 balls and some ball boy had to go run and get the ball to place back down before the next play started, an incomplete pass made sense to stop the clock. Conceptually, it makes no sense now. There's 1,000 ball boys around. You know, maybe just stop the clock on an incomplete pass after 5 minutes or after 10 minutes of the quarter. Let's see what happens there. There's a lot of other things that I would try to incorporate, but I will say maybe, you know, give the league some credit. They seem to be open to a lot of these ideas, and, you know, this is just the beginning, so maybe they'll make some good improvements.
That is Commissioner Jason Symbol, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Outstanding stuff there. All right, you'd probably make a better wrestling commissioner, I think, as well, too.
I can take a bump or two also, so that'd be great.
Hey, college basketball, a couple games real quick. North Carolina, Virginia, that's a big one. I see that line has moved a little bit. It's a pick 'em right now, isn't it?
Yeah, so that, you know, it's an interesting one because you've got obviously Virginia coming off of you know, the big game against Duke. That game is a pick 'em now. We've seen the majority of the action on the Tar Heels. Virginia opened -1. At one point, North Carolina was -1. So back and forth action. Majority of it on the Tar Heels. It's a pick right now.
My favorite game of the night, Jason. Lehigh and Bucknell. It's a battle of the top two teams, man.
Lehigh and Bucknell. Okay, interesting one. Bucknell is a 5-point favorite there. You know, they've been pretty much five the whole day. It did open 4.5. Some bets on the favorite to get it up to 5.
All right, Oklahoma and we got Baylor tonight, right? And a lot of injuries in that game.
Yeah, that's a game. Baylor -4.5 at home. I'm looking at it now, and it actually opened at 4. And what's interesting about that one is a ton of parlays have Baylor. The public is all over Baylor there. In fact, as I look at it now, that's the most lopsided game we have in terms of ticket count tonight on the college hoop slate.
And so, Baylor could be missing 3 starters tonight, too. So
public gotta, all over them.
Got to beware. All right, my friend, great stuff. We'll let you get back to inventing more rules for the Alliance, wrestling, and everything else you can do, okay?
All right, man.
Take care. There it is, Jason Symbol, CG Technology. Follow him at JSymbol on Twitter. All right, appreciate you joining us today. Tomorrow, Terrible Tuesday edition, getting right back at it. A lot of stuff to vent about. And Golden Knights back in action. We'll preview that a little bit tomorrow, too. 3 home losses in a row. I got a feeling they're going to snap it tomorrow night as Arizona comes to town, 7 o'clock at T-Mobile Arena. If you missed any part of the show, you know where to go. Go to the website. Check out the latest interviews, the articles. It's all up there. Check out our UNLV take from their loss Saturday at home against Fresno State as well, too. That's at tcmartinshow.com. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy. JT the Brick is coming up next. We'll catch you tomorrow right here, Fox Sports Radio at 3 p.m.